Blog Talk Radio.
Like a cat, like my 8 lives are behind me, and this is my 9th one I'm on. How do you know? How do you know? How do you know? Yo, T. Carey Wright, how do you know? Yo, Emily, how do you know? Robbie Ming, how do you know? My brother from another, how do you know? Carol Chamber, how do you know? Yo, I need to know how you know. Why would we be afraid? Back in the time you got paid each and every time you started a new adventure. It was a real type of adventure. So why would you be scared now and getting a little over? Stakes higher now? I'm not sure if that's the case, but we're going to talk about it tonight in this place. It's the daily go get a Mism show. You think it ain't when it is, Stacey White? But it is. Yeah. And it's going on. And it's going on down. That's what we're talking about tonight. Does the fear of moving on increase as you get older? I don't know. It hit me like a ton of bricks all out the blue. It hit me for a particular reason. Lately, with the situation that some of y'all know about, because, you know, the thing we talked about on Friday, I've talked to a few people about it. Well, you know, I ain't talked to everybody about it Friday. Those who inbox me know what I'm talking about. But I didn't really realize how many people are really afraid to move on, especially when staying in your current situation may have already run its course, or it's an abusive or negative or unproductive situation. Why would you stay in a situation or get comfortable in a negative situation? And yeah, it happens to the best of us. It happens to a lot of people. It happens to a lot of people. A lot of people will stay in a bad situation for years. Some will stay in it for decades. All on that, well, I thought it would get better, or, you know, it was sort of like, they don't want to say it, but it's like, well, it's the devil I knew. It's the devil I know. Like, I know how it moves. I know what it does, and I'm good with it. I'm like, well, how did you become good with it? Well, we're going to talk about it, be about it, get into it. We're going to get into it. It's a Darella Dane a Dane. Well, it's a woman Dane a Dane with fame. What's going on, Dane a Dane? Yeah, we're going to get into this thing hot and heavy tonight. So let's get it popping. Urban Therapy with Sun Sun 752. Is this your daily go get a mission show? We do this every single day. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. We break it down, baby. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. I'm your host, Sun 752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say, Omar, what the R? It is the Daily Go Get a Mission Show all up in your area. Pretty Petty Tuesday all up in this place. And tonight, yeah, we are talking about fear of moving on. We could have called it fear of moving on, fear of starting over, whatever. Fear of new beginnings, whatever the case may be. But peep game. Let's get right into it. People stay in long-term relationships, long-term abusive relationships for years. We ain't even gonna go into the weeks or months or whatever. Years, decades. I've seen it. You've seen it. You may have done it. And when you really get to thinking about it, by the time you climb up out of that shit, you get to thinking like, well, what the fuck was I doing? Why did I stay in that situation that long? Was it fear the whole way? You know, when you're younger, you know, if we're talking about relationships, when you're younger, a lot of times you're not afraid to move on, because when you're younger, a lot of women, you know, y'all have the nice body, pretty face, and your confidence might be like mad hot. So dudes are hollering at you every day, all day, every day. You know what I've noticed about women who get hollered at on a regular basis? It doesn't seem to increase the confidence of all women who that happens to. I think it's amazing, because if it was a man and women were trying to get with them constantly, you wouldn't be able to tell a nigga shit. If every day he had mad chicks all on his dick all day, you wouldn't be able to tell that man nothing. But some women will get hollered at today, all day, never be able to go nowhere without men fawning all over and all of that. And it doesn't seem to do anything for their confidence. And I'm not talking about all women. But for some women, it doesn't seem to have had a positive effect on their confidence, to the point where they figure, well, I'll cut you off and I'll go get another man. Because they might figure, and I can't say I noticed, but for some of the women that I've talked to, which is a lot over the years, they look at it like those men don't really want them for anything except for sex. They don't really want a life. They don't really want a love. They don't really want the woman for themselves. So I'm like, most personal relationships start on a physical level. like I thought she was cute. So, you know, I wanted to see what else it was about. I was physically attracted to you, so, you know, I stepped to you, so it's good. But, it, you know, that's me as a man talking, and evidently I don't 100% get it. Maybe I don't get it at all, because you'll see a woman who was pretty, maybe had a nice body or whatever, and you'll see her be in an abusive relationship until her looks start to fade. Now, here's the thing about fading looks. I want to say this about fading looks. Your looks have only faded to people who have taken that whole ride with you. To people who just met you, your looks haven't faded. What I'm getting at with that is, to new people, you are the beauty that they know, that they've been looking for, that they want. So there's a benefit to the new. There's a benefit to the starting over. There's a benefit to the new beginning. That's a benefit right there. People who know me at this age, anytime after 2005, they don't know the Omar with the hair. They don't know that. They don't know him. They don't, and they're not looking for him. They're not looking for the Omar with the hair. They don't miss him. They know the bald head O. So they don't need or want the hair having O. So they see pictures of me with my hair, and they like, oh, no, I'm good with you now. I don't wish you had hair. And I'm like, that's interesting. But yeah, you can't, in that instance, you can't miss what you never had. They're good with what you are and who you are right then and now. So in cases like that, you have made a new start without even trying. Without even wanting to. By default, you got a new start with people because they only know the new you. People who knew you back in your teens, back when you were a child, back in your 20s, 30s, whatever the case may be, they've seen your struggles. They know your story. They've seen your journey ever with you. So they've seen the evolution, the changes. The new people don't know that. But it's funny because you may fear the new people because they don't know. You hanging out with the old people who some of them may have abused you, hurt you, constantly put your feelings on blast, disregarded you, abandoned you, left you out there, hung you out to dry, took your love and your dedication and your loyalty for granted. I'm not saying that everybody you came up with did that, but I'm saying it's an actual fact that I'll bet you most of your long-term negative experiences came from those in the past, not the ones up front, not the new ones. And that's not to say that you should drop everything and go make a new start with motherfuckers that you don't know. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is you may have developed this fear of moving on when moving on has never let you down. More than likely, the things that you started over, you got better at over time. Oh, shit. Yeah, the things that you've the new things that you've started probably have gotten better over time, but you had to start over. Like If you got a new job, you got a new job, more than likely the new job that you got when you were younger paid you more. You know, when we young, we take all kinds of, listen, you know, when we're younger, we will work anywhere. We'll take any old little kind of money. We'll work at it as a cashier, store clerk, stock boy, fast food. Some of us who chasing the money may have two or three jobs doing that shit. Not making a lot of money at either job, but, you know, working long enough to be able to triple the funds. Yet, we weren't scared to start all over. Now, I thought about this. When you're younger, the stakes are not as higher. You don't own as much. Your responsibilities aren't as high. For some of us, not for all of us, because some of us had children when we were teenagers. So the stakes were high. Those of us who didn't have children when we were teens, we worked anywhere. And we that little bit of money, think back, because I still don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't understand how a $200 or $250 salary at age 18 or 19 was enough. We was making it on that shit. Now, we can say the price of inflation and all. No, fuck that. I have not lived in an era where $250 was enough for you to get by. I haven't lived in an era like that. Unless I was living at home with my mom and I didn't have a car and I didn't have to pay any real rent. You know, I might have had to break off a little something, but I ain't have to pay no real rent. You understand what I mean? So I'm wondering how at $200, $250, let's say even $300, how I still had enough money to buy fresh gear, get high, drink, party, even go out, pay for dinner, all that kind of shit. Somehow it happened. Now you make thousands of dollars and you be like, man, and the crazy part about it was when you was younger, you wasn't afraid to get fired. You probably got fired a lot, bullshitting, partying all night, coming to work half-ass high, drunk and shit. You know what I'm saying? Stealing shit at the job, letting other people use facilities at the job, sneaking people in, fucking, all kinds of stuff. The bottom line is you wasn't afraid to move on. You just weren't. And yeah, most of us didn't have a boatload of responsibilities to think about, but some of us did. And we were still wild. And we still didn't have any fear of moving on. We didn't have a fear of starting over. We just didn't, it wasn't there. But somewhere along the line, 30 years old, 40 years old, whatever the case may be, something snapped and it was like, I don't know. It's like we felt the brunt of the well becoming dry and we just weren't as confident as we were before. But what's it all about? Where did that fear come from? You ain't ugly. So why are you afraid to get a new man or a new girl? Your skills are probably the best that they've ever been. So why are you afraid to get a new job? Why are you afraid to start over a new job? Now, the new job thing, I understand some people's concerns because they like, you know, depending on how old you are. But let's say you're 40 years old. Let's say you're 40 years old and you may have worked at the job that you have been in. You may have worked there for 20 years. Some people do it. You know, almost straight out of high school, straight out of college or whatever, you know, they worked at their job. They got two decades in. They're not old enough to retire and probably haven't saved enough, but they've worked. They've definitely, built up their, 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 long-term employment resume. That's cemented. But look at how many people stay on these jobs for years and years and years, and the job treats them like shit. Or they don't, or they haven't moved up on jobs. I don't understand it. You was in an entry level position when you started this job, and you damn near still there. So you like a senior entry level position holder. I ain't judging, but it is what it is. And a lot of this, one thing about jobs, you get used to that money. You get used to that same money. It may be the case where you would probably do better working on your own or you know, when you go get another job, I don't know if some of y'all know this, but when you go get another job, you kind of get to set your own price. You the new superstar. Just like when sports celebrities leave one team and they test free agency and go to another team and they get a big contract, much bigger than the one that they left, if they're good. That's you. But we get stuck in this job mentality, like, I'm lucky to have a job, or I'm just, you know what I mean? I'm lucky to have this income coming in. So you stay your ass at this job for years and years and years, and you ain't moving nowhere, you ain't doing nothing, ain't nothing happening for you. You settling for that little 15 cent, 25 cents a year. Get the fuck out of here. But you know it's true. This ain't the 70s. This ain't the 60s and the 70s or even the 80s where when you got a raise, you got a significant raise. This is post-Reagan era. This is post H.W. Bush era. You know what I mean? Where the term permanent employee died on the operating table. There used to be a such thing as a permanent employee. Like, you were going to retire here if you didn't fuck around and get fired. Other than that, you was good. Seniority like crazy. That died after Bush. They killed that with trickle-down economics and killing. Reagan invented the trickle-down economics, and H.W. Bush, he relaxed the trust. He relaxed the antitrust laws. Yeah. So the markets didn't flourish as well as the, you know, free. So before, where you used to be able to just go get a job anywhere, you know, especially if you worked in construction, something like that. If you worked in a trade, you know, you don't like this job, you don't like how they pay, you quit. Get fired, whatever, go right down the street, get another one. They needed you. When they relaxed those antitrust laws, that's when the Walmarts came through. That's when the Home Depots came through. That's when the big box stores was able to flourish, because they was able to monopolize. They wasn't able to do that before. That's why I don't fucking go to Wally World. That's why I won't do it. People don't understand how it kills communities. I do. And now you do. And there's more to it. But this is where a lot of these things come from. You know, yeah, they don't want you to go nowhere. Yeah, you don't have to go nowhere except for Walmart. They got the market in there. They wasn't able to have that before. You know. They got the hardware store in there. They wasn't able to do that before. Like Home Depot, they swallowed up all the electrical supply stores, plumbing supply stores, lumber yards. That's why you don't see those businesses anymore. Yet, and when they was doing it, their prices were super low. So you was feeling good about it. Like, yo, it's so cheap. I can. And now they ain't cheap no more. You know, Home Depot ain't cheap. Who's their competition? Lowe's higher than Home Depot. And neither one of them are shit. But now you don't have no fucking choices. You don't have no plumbing supplies. And I, anyway, fear of moving on. Fear of starting over. I'm glad that y'all are here. Jah Big, my brother, Jah Big, yo, Jah is all up in the place. Fly, thanks for coming on through. Thanks for coming by, my mellow, my man. My brother, Ansel Jones, Baltimore girls can't leave him alone. Yo, thanks for coming on through, my guy. That's my man. Yo, young, tall, and fly. Yeah, you know what it's about. We gonna get turn it up. All right. If y'all would like to call into this show, I invite y'all to call in. And the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. That's the number to call. I said a 319-527-6199. Yes, 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 y'all. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get on the line. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get your shine, baby. 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 319-527-6199, baby. 319-527-6199. Press number one, and that will let me know that you would like to speak, and then I will call you out by the last four digits of your telephone number, and you can rock out, rock on, and do the damn thing. Daily Go Get a Business Show all up in your area, baby. Daily Go Get a Business Show, and sha-na-na. So, don't forget to hit that like button. Don't forget to hit the like button. Don't forget to share the show. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. Why are we afraid to move on? Why are we afraid? I can understand liking where you are and not feeling the need to move on. I get that. But being afraid of starting over, where does the fear come from? When does it start? What's the origin? Where we at? Talk to me, y'all. Matter of fact, let me put these glasses on so I can see what y'all been saying. Make sure y'all saying something. Make sure y'all saying something. Daily Go Get a Business Show, baby. Let me see. Carol Chamberlain says, it seemed to pay more when you were younger. Yeah, because, Carol, we was buying. You know what the funny thing is, Carol? The way it seems to me, when we was younger, we was making a little bit of money, but we bought what the fuck we wanted to buy. Yo, I bought jewelry when I was younger. How did I afford it? I had chains, rings. I don't know how I afforded that shit. Running around here with this big, thick-ass herringbone. Well, I remember how I bought that. I bought that with my refund that I got from my student loan. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's what we did at Penn State. We take our tuition money and go out and buy stereo equipment and shit like that. Yeah. Well, with whatever we had left over. So yeah, but yeah, we bought what we wanted. So whatever was important to us in our lives, we went and bought that shit, designer shit. Giving Polo, Gucci, and all and whoever, all of my, yo, we did it. I can't afford that shit now. When you're younger, being able to afford something means being able to buy something. I think when you get older, being able to afford something means having something left over after you buy. When we were younger, being able to afford just meant being able to buy it. You know, like Salt and Pepper said, I really don't want him. The boy ain't cute. Shit, he can't afford to buy a Fila suit. Oh, yeah? I took my $175 and I bought me a Fila suit. What you mean I can't afford one? It don't matter that I had to save up 3 weeks for it. I had two Fila suits. Yes, I did. And a Sergio. I had two Filas and two Sergio Tacchini. I would lay them shits out on my bed. I would sleep with my clothes for the next day. Here I am with my sweatsuit laid out, complete with the socks, ready for me to jump into them in the morning after I took my bath. I'm going to kill them today with my Fila. You know, the Fila was right here. I'm going to kill him. I really don't want him. The guy ain't cute shit. He can't afford to buy a Fila suit. He can't afford to buy a Fila suit. He can't afford to buy. Yo. He can't afford. What's good? He can't afford to buy a Fila suit. He can't afford to buy a Fila suit. Yo, get your cake up, son. Yo, you got to be able to buy a Taiwan. Or Sergio Tacchini. Fila suit. You know what I mean? Get your fresh up. Get your fresh right, baby. Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Let me see what y'all talking about. What I'm talking about? What I'm talking about? And so Jones says, yesterday coming back, learn from mistakes and love life. And so Jones says, wait, somebody said yesterday ain't coming back. Oh, yesterday ain't coming back. Shoot, you don't need yesterday. Only thing you need from yesterday is the memory of the lessons that you learned. You don't need yesterday. A lot of times yesterday be fooling motherfuckers. That's why they always making up stories about yesterday. Oh, yeah, you know, back in the day, we used to, back in the, yeah, get the fuck out of here. I don't know. I'm funny. I be thinking, if you ain't got shit now, then you ain't really have that much shit back then. Because if you really had it like that back in the day, that would have taught you how to get it again today. It's the new, baby. It's the new fear of moving on. Fear of moving on. And don't get me wrong, because I could be wrong. Okay. And so Jones says, I got used to a phone to get my stuff together. You'll be moving out and can't tell where. Now, so it says, when the pain of staying the same outweighs the pain of changing, it is only then that the decision to change is made and act upon it. I intuitively knew this, but it didn't register until I heard it. I hear that. TK Wright says, the fear for most people came the first time we got fired, laid off, evicted, or rejected. Then some let the disappointment from those experiences build up until it stifles them. You know, I'm glad you put it that way, because I had a fear of being fired. I had never been fired from a job before until 2018. Up until then, I was able to say, yo, I never got fired from a job. 2018, got fired straight up and down. Straight up and down. Went into the office. It was like my boss jumped out on me. Yo, we're going to have to let you go. I was like, what the fuck? Like, he literally jumped out on me. He literally jumped out on my ass. Like, we're going to have to let you go. It was the illest shit I ever saw. Rita Rez, what's going on, Rita? Thanks for coming on through. But you know what I learned from that? The same thing I learned when I was afraid of doing something that would humiliate me in front of a bunch of people. The same thing that Magic Johnson had to learn. The same thing that Whitney Houston had to learn. The same thing that Barry Bonds had to learn. The same things that maybe Arnold Schwarzenegger, Alex Rodriguez. The reason I mentioned those people is because they were all born under the sign of Leo. And one thing about Leos, one thing that Leos, and I mean every single motherfucking one of them, if you people can say that Leos are arrogant and they self, you can say all of that shit. That's inconsistent. But one thing that's very consistent in each and every Leo I've ever known, heard about, seen, is that they fear humiliation. Not that they'll do a whole lot to avoid it, but they fear. And it's a fear that drives each and every last one of them. But when each and every last one of them finally experiences it, it frees them. They realize, like, I thought being humiliated in front of all these people, in front of the world, I thought that that was going to kill me. And I mean literally kill me. That's how Leos think. I'm just being real. Some will tell you that that's not true. They're fucking lying. And if you start to watch them after you find out that fact, you'll see it. Like, well, I'll be goddamn. If they don't fear that humiliation, it's because they've already gone through it, and they realize, like, oh, I don't have to put myself above everybody else because it happened to me, and I lived. I survived. Now I can actually go ahead and live for real, without that ball and chain, that anchor holding me back. And I'm saying all of this to say this. Whitney Houston never wanted to be embarrassed about her drug habit. But once it got out, she realized, like, oh, well, I'll be damned. People didn't leave me. They didn't stop buying my music, and they didn't stop cheering for me. Huh. Magic Johnson contracted HIV, had to stop playing basketball, but he grew in ways that he probably never dreamed of before. And he beat the disease. It didn't kill him. Alex Rodriguez, allegations of steroid use. They're true. Same thing with Barry Bonds. They're true. He didn't get convicted of it, didn't get put out of Major League Baseball of it, but it tarnished his record for good. And it may have an effect on him getting into the Hall of Fame. But one thing they can't take away from him is all of the things that he accomplished before and after the steroid thing, because he wasn't taking steroids when he earned his right to the Hall of Fame. He did the steroids for the home run record. He figured, shit, Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, they both on the juice. And you see they getting this shit. Them two bum-ass players, they can't even play. They can hit home runs, but they can't field. They can't play. So his dumb-ass did it too. But he survived it. He survived it. So having to start over empowered them. It renewed them. It gave them a renewed sense of confidence. Like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Because sometimes the old ways, the old people, the old situations, it can stifle you. It can enslave you. It can chain you down. And it can definitely stunt your growth. Yet, we hold on to this shit. No, but you know why? Because we're creatures of habit. And we fight for comfortability, even though a lot of the situations make us more uncomfortable. But we think the new situations are going to make us uncomfortable. Why? Because we're going to have to learn something. We're going to have to show our vulnerability and our human side, you know, the fact that we don't know everything and that we have to start somewhere too. And we don't want to do it. We would rather, you know, stay in the situation. Even sports celebrities do it. Stay on teams where they never won a fucking championship. Look at how long Karl Malone stayed with the Utah Jazz. Was they paying him enough money? I don't know. He made good money, but he never won a championship and wasn't going to win one. Michael Jordan killed all that. Jordan. Then Karl Malone finally went to the Lakers and still didn't win. He couldn't win with Kobe. Yeah. Okay. Okay. What are we talking about? All right. Okay. Make sure I get yours. All right. Ansel Jones says Ben Simmons has a plan to move on. Yeah, he can go. He can go not shoot the ball for any other team. But I think he's gonna mess himself up because this dumbass is gonna hold out. Teams don't want to see you hold out, dog. That's not how you increase your worth. Fucking bum ass Benson. I don't know, man. Talk about wasted talent. Talk about wasted talent. Talk about wasted talent. And hold on. Fucking Ben Simmons. Let me see some. Alright. Yeah. This cat. I mean, just shoot the fucking ball, Ben. Just shoot the ball. You can't defend your way. Yo. Shit, even arguably the best defender ever. That damn oh, shit. Now I'm having a problem with names. You know, the one that dressed up like a girl and had his, he changed the color of his hair and got everybody wearing all them fucking tattoos. He played for the Detroit Pistons and then for the Chicago Bulls. You know. What's his name? You know. Fagboy. You know what I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about. Dennis Rodman. Yeah. You know what I mean? Crazy sweet boy. Crazy sweet boy. Him. Even he would shoot. If he had the open shot, like, okay. I just really want to get boards all day. I'm the king of it. And he really was. But here, and this shit would go in. Early in his career, he shot a lot more. Let me see. Okay. Read up Taki's comments. We're on point about this. Oh, Taki's comments were on point about this. What did Taki say? Did I read it already? Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, when I got fired, I realized, like, only thing getting fired did was take away my ability to say that I'd never been fired. Okay, so I got fired. Guess what? Now I have no choice but to go out and find another job, and I did. Of course I did. If I had the skills to get that job, why wouldn't I have the skills to get? I got fired on some dumb shit. It ain't had nothing to do with my work ethic, ability, or any of that shit. It was on some other shit. You know, but life went on. I had to learn from it. And I did. And every job I got after that paid me more than that job. Every single one. Every job I've gotten since then has paid me more than the last one. And the next one will pay me more than the one I had. That's the way that goes. That's the way that goes. Sometimes you might have to move on in order to get something that you weren't ever going to get where you are. Sometimes. Okay. But you have to have the foresight and you have to have the belief in yourself that you can make that happen. And that's why I'm really questioning what I was talking about. What I was talking about at the top of the show, y'all. Do you think that the older you get, the more confidence you lose? And why is that? If you think that that's true, and it very may well be for a lot of people, but why? Why is that? Why would you lose confidence the older you get? Why? Let's get into it, y'all. Let's get into it. You know, people be like, I still got it. Well, why you ain't using it? Yeah, you still got it. Well, why you ain't using it? Why ain't you using it? You had to wait for somebody else to come along and tell you that you still got it. They had to remind you. You had to get reminded. Well, how come you had to get reminded? Why they had to remind you? Cherry says, fear can come from several different things. It can come from childhood. I know people today that still don't like to try new foods. That's your parents' fault. Ain't really no way around that. Yeah. I hate to say it, but I've said it many times. Many parents bestow their fears on their kids. 9 times out of 10, if somebody is afraid of mice, guess what? Their parents was afraid of mice. Ain't no way around that shit. 9 times out of 10, somebody has a fear of getting on a plane flying. Guess what? Their parents was afraid to get on a plane. 9 times out of 10, if your parents were afraid of the dark, guess what happens with you? Afraid of the dark. And it seems like not a big thing because these things don't kill you. A lot of times we don't concentrate. We only concentrate on the things that don't seriously, physically harm us. We don't take stock of the little things that damage our mentality, damage our psyche, damage our emotional stability. The little things that build and compound and build just like Lego blocks to the point where you can't be a complete person because you got all of these little fears getting in the way of you growing. So yeah, we're looking at the big picture because you're still cute and you still can do things, but the things that are really going to help you to be able to express yourself, to free yourself, and to fly literally are in the way. And it comes straight from your parents. It's not all your parents' fault. It could be their it could be your grandparents' fault. Whatever it is, we don't do enough to overcome our fears. We do more to hide our fears. Shit, we be holding on to our fears like, it's my fear. It's my fear, and I'll keep them if I want to. Keep them if I want to. Keep them if I want to. You would be scared if it happened to you. I'm not talking about when you was younger and at the swimming pool and somebody tried to drown you. No, I can understand. I can fully understand how that could affect a person not ever trying to swim again. Because, I mean, who wants to not breathe? That shit is, yeah. But other little things can prevent you. It can prevent your mind from building new pathways. That's what learning does. It builds pathways in your mind. And it increases your possibilities. It increases your options. If there's nothing about college that gives you the benefit of life more than anything, it's the one thing that college students understand are possibilities. That's what learning different, having to take classes that didn't have anything to do with your major. It showed you how to learn. It showed you how to research. It showed you the possibilities, why some things are important that you never would have thought were, even if they're not important to you in your life, in your immediate surroundings. But they open up pathways in your mind that were previously blocked, because more than likely, before you were forced to learn some things that you didn't think were important, you kept saying, I don't need to know that. I don't need to see that. I don't need to. I don't need that. Shit don't apply to me. That's some white shit. That ain't no black shit. I do the black shit. We do this. We only do that. We don't do that shit. Man, when I went up to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I was telling them, I was like, yeah, you know, we be going on ski trips all the time. And they was like, ski trips? Black people don't ski? You know, my family is from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I was like, we go on ski trips. Some of us ski. Most of us just go up there and party. It's a ski resort. You know, we all go up there on a bus. People are drinking, smoking, having a great time. They hire a comedian, sometimes a band. You know, they perform for 2 days, have a great time. Come home with all kinds of films of people doing freaky shit, going from room to room naked, this, that, and the third, fucking all shit. And some people actually get on the slopes. They didn't know nothing about that shit. And I mean nothing. Black people don't ski. I'm like, yes, the fuck they do. And they ice skate. And all of this goddamn cold and snow that y'all have up here, y'all not using it to y'all advantage at all? It's cold as shit. You ever been to Milwaukee? Yo, it's wintertime there now. Right now, brothers. Right now, sisters. I'm only saying all of this because the pathways in their mind were blocked because the people around them didn't do this, didn't do that, didn't open up their minds to possibilities, new experiences. And that happens to you too. You staying in that old way, scared to move on. I wish somebody would try to hold me down because that's not what black people do. Oh, yeah? Show me one thing in this world that black people don't do. I'll show you a black person that's doing it at a high level. Because around my way, black people don't play tennis. But guess what? Black people play tennis. Around my way, black people don't play hockey. But guess what? Black people play hockey in the NHL. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, black people don't bobsled, but them Jamaicans, you know 30 years ago, guess what they did? There ain't nothing that niggas don't do. Nothing. Not one thing. Nothing. Good and bad. But we get afraid that we get so bogged down on what somebody else is going to think, how somebody else is going to feel about what your experiences could be, that here you are in this restrictive abusive. Enslavement situation that you have somehow convinced yourself that you're comfortable with. Oh, it ain't that bad. The struggle is real. Sound familiar? The struggle is real. Yeah. Okay. You know, it's funny, you know, I was talking about Dennis Rodman, because Dennis Rodman is really the one that got all of those tattoos popping. It wasn't AI. It was Dennis Rodman. His freak ass. He's the only basketball player in the league at the time who had all of those tattoos, was coloring his hair, dressing up like a woman, acting like a bitch, bitching. He was an icon. He was an ugly-ass icon, but he was an icon. He definitely opened up the playbook on star quality and self-marketing. He opened up the playbook. Dennis Rodman don't get enough credit for that shit. I didn't like him. I didn't like his antics. I didn't like the way he looked. I didn't like none of that shit. But you have to give him, you got to give him his props. Dennis Rodman got the tattoo thing popping in the NBA. Not Allen Iverson, not nobody else. Dennis Rodman did. He did it before Tupac or anybody or any other rapper. Yes, he did. Dennis Rodman. You ain't seen no tatted up basketball players before Dennis Rodman. No, you didn't. All bare arms. Go back and look at them tapes. You don't see no tattoos. You see Dennis Rodman, 1990, 1991, 92. Yeah. He was a marketing genius. Carol Chamberlain says, that's true for most people, not just Leos. Yeah, but what I'm saying, Carol, is that in other signs, it doesn't drive them. It doesn't enslave them. It doesn't hold them back. They don't do, like, their whole existence won't be tied to that the way it is with Leos. I mean, I'm talking facts. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just gave y'all the playbook. That's the key. That's the key. Fear of humiliation. It drives the shit out of them. Or holds them back ridiculously. It wouldn't be like that for, it's not like that for Aquarians. I mean, nobody likes to be embarrassed. But not everybody, it doesn't engulf their whole ability to be able to move like it will for Leo. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, nobody likes to be embarrassed. Nobody likes to be humiliated, of course. But that's not going to be your driving force in life to try to avoid that the way it is with us. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And Phil Jones says, I was afraid of doing something better than my boss because they going to find ways to knock me down. Fuck that shit. You better. If you're better, my brother. One thing my dad said, never apologize for perfection, Omar. I'm going to repeat that. My dad said, never apologize for perfection. Don't be ashamed because you did it right. Fuck out of here. Don't let motherfuckers shame you and put you down and make you feel bad for doing it right. Make them step they shit up. Make them get their game right. You know, challenge them to improve themselves instead of accepting that mediocrity. Never apologize for perfection. The cream rises to the top, baby. The cream rises to the top. Fuck them niggas. Can people is that? Look at Bruce Jenner. No, we not doing that. No. Don't look at no. But no. I said. No. No, no. TK Wright says, yes, Carrie, Carrie. At won't even try new food word. Carol Chamberlain says, or go to Europe and play nobody, and play nobody seems to be interested in him. And of course, the curse of the Kardashians ain't helping everyone touch ball players. Everyone they touch, ball players are doomed. You fucking around with them Kardashians if you want to. I don't know. It's something very evil about the Kardashians. But that's what you get. I tell you, man, white bitches are going to kill y'all niggas. Going to kill y'all niggas. All right. Emily says, heck, I was going to say ride something, trying to remember. I hear that. That's what's up. TK Wright says, two of my kids were competitive skiers. What you talking about, Willis? Yeah. And go up there and tell the Milwaukee Black Cats. They be like, they did what? And it's fucking freezing cold. They feet full of snow. I'm like, shit. Everybody in Philly would be a competitive skier if it snowed down here the way it does up there. That's crazy. But stuck in those old ways, stuck in those stereotypical, you know, ways. You know, we don't do this. Only they do that. Nah, fuck that. That's like saying, black people don't make a lot of money and move out of dangerous neighborhoods in order to make a better life for their children. Black people don't send their children to private schools and make sure that they have all of the things that they have in life and hug and love each other and support each other. We don't do that. Yes, the fuck we do. Fuck out of here. And so Joan says, I didn't think I would need longitude and latitude in school, end up being my job. Ain't that some shit? Everything in math is science, but especially math. Why would be like, yo, why do we have to learn algebra? You don't mix letters with numbers. We don't need to learn that shit. All we need is general math. Addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. That's all we need. Yeah, but the advanced math tests your ability, tests your mastery of addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. And the more you keep building those pathways, the better you get, the more you're able to figure out other things in life, probabilities, possibilities, and people. T. Carey Wright says, Wisconsin is a big of snowball. Now, see, I let Carol Chamberlain get away with, but you? Okay. Nora says, I was too narrow-minded for college. Even though I had the opportunity to go tuition free, I would have lost that incentive if I failed a class. Wow. And you're sure about that? Job Big says, I lived in Utah for a year. Cold as fuck. And that guy to do it is me. Yo, so, all right, so since you lived in Utah, from what I understand about Utah, it's a place, it's a big-ass state. But from what I understand, you could be in the desert and then go to the top of the mountain and go skiing. Come down the mountain and go swimming, go up the mountain and go skiing. Am I right about that? Have you experienced that, Josh? Is that true? Utah, cold as fuck. I never heard it described strictly as that. That's something else. Carol Chamberlain says, I can't remember exactly, but there is a black tennis club in Germantown. Yeah, there is. There is. But see, I live in North Philly now. So. No. Around my way, white women from out in the burbs move into the city and they be walking the temple with their little Birkenstock sandals, their little Jesus sandals, and their little flat purse and all of that shit. Power walking to work. It's disgusting to me. We used to have a power running. Now they power walking. Yes, I do live in the hood. Yes, I do live in the hood. I live in urban Philadelphia. Urban. Keith Urban. Yeah, y'all. Oh, shit. I didn't even realize. All right. Even though I got here late. I told you I was going to make up the time. I told you. Clawson, Utah. Okay. Yeah, shit, man. You live in Utah. You done some shit. Utah. All right. That's what's up. Cold as fuck, huh? Well, let's see. What's the average temperature in Clawson, Utah?
In September in Clawson, Utah, the average high is 77 degrees Fahrenheit, and the average low is 47 degrees.
So that means that it gets much warmer and much colder than both of those. Clawson, Utah. Where the hell? Record temperatures, average snowfall. Oh, average rainfall. Now, it doesn't say anything here about snow. Okay. Interesting. Oh, yeah, it do get cold. 14 degrees Fahrenheit in January. Get the fuck out of here. Are you shitting me? Okay. I didn't know that. Good looking out, my brother. And he says, I'm from Texas, so they summers are like our springs. Mm-hmm. It don't get more south than Texas. That's as south as you can get. Maybe Florida. That peninsula named Florida. Really, cat? Oh, you going in heat, ain't you? Yeah, you are, because you flapping around here like a fish. Poor thing. Flapping around here like a fish. Flappity. All right. So, anyway, man, yo, I don't know if I really breached this topic the way I wanted to. I really wanted to find out from y'all perspective, where does our waning confidence come from? Because I don't think it comes from us starting off, having to have started over before. I don't think it comes from that. I don't think so. I'm willing to bet that most of experiences with starting over have been positive. But we somehow think that those positives are behind us. I have a sneaky suspicion that there's some truth to that. But something tells me that when you started over before in the past, it has worked out for you. But we kept going to the point where we somehow thought like, all right, yeah, I got lucky with that start over. I think my luck is running out. When you get to be 50 years old, some people, I remember my old manager. When I met him, he was 53. I was 43. Mm-hmm. I was 43. He was 53. And he had some health issues. And so his confidence was really decreasing because he was thinking like he had to hold on to this job because his age in his mind and his health issues were going to prevent him from being able to get another job. So he had to stay there. A part of me understood. Yeah, that was a lot more understandable. You know. Interestingly enough, there was another old head that was 60 years old that worked with us on the same job. And he wasn't afraid to start over. And I believe he had underlying health issues. But he was more like, let's have at it. So, Josh says, we can start over just when we get to backtrack, it gets difficult. Well, you know, Josh, people stay in houses for years or in neighborhoods for years where they may not have had a lot of luck because some people don't want to buy a house because they're afraid of a mortgage. They're afraid of home repairs, things like that. So some people rent for the rest of their lives. I don't understand that type of thinking. I really don't. I'm not paying no rent for somebody for the rest of my life. Like I've never paid rent in my life. But if I paid rent, you could best believe I'm going to get it over with quick. But that's me. But, you know, as much as it irks me every time, I hear somebody talking about they moving down south or another person says, yeah, you know, I'm about to make this move to Atlanta. I'm like, Atlanta again? Like, yo, this shit got to be full by now. Everybody that moved to Atlanta, it shouldn't be no spots left in Atlanta. Like, no. Atlanta, like, please don't come to this state. Don't come to this city. No Atlanta. Okay. But a part of me admires the fact that they feel like, well, I'm not making it here. I think I can make it there, and I'm ready to make this move. There is where I want to be. Here is not where I want to be. I can hate on it all I want, but a part of me is not hating on it. I'm hating on them. A part of me is like, well, shit, give it a shot. I have to respect the fact that they have assessed their situation and they think that they can make it somewhere else better than they can make it here. No need for hate. Go ahead, do your thing. That's a lot better than staying in a place, staying in surroundings that just don't mesh well with your soul. That's a lot better than that to me. You know, so they're going to give it a shot. They're going to give it a shot. So I just think that everybody owes it to themselves to give it a shot too. Don't, if your situation isn't a good situation, then plan your way out of that situation and into a better situation. That's all to it. Do better for yourself. You owe that to yourself and for yourself. Why not? Get that done. All right, y'all. Let's do these birthday shout-outs. Let's do these birthday shout-outs. Listen, you ladies, you do not have to stay in that abusive relationship. Don't stay there and let your man beat your ass day in and day out. Leave that motherfucker. Go get yourself a new man and let him beat the shit out of you every day. You know what I mean? You don't have, you can spread the ball around. You know what I mean? Get yourself a man who don't have a good punch. You don't have to stay with that old bodybuilding MMA, UFC, choke holding Gary Heidnik. You ain't got to do that. Get yourself a new man that maybe you might be able to beat or at least compete with. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious, glorious, glorious September 28th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. We get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. We get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. We get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Shanae Garbutt. Happy birthday to you, Shanae. And also my girl, Tammy Thomas, DC Stand Up. Or is it VA? Let's go with VA. Turning 47 years old today. Happy birthday to you. And my girl, go get a Nina Brown. Brown. Turning 37 years old today. And Simone Daly. Turning 49 years old today. And last but not least, Veronica Lopez. Looks like Lopes to me. So like Lisa Lopez, she spelled her name the exact same way. I don't know where to get, how can L-O-P-E-S spell Lopez? Lopez is a Spanish name, and it has a Z in it. It's Lopes. Turning 50 years old today. Turning 50 years old today. Veronica girl. I want to say happy birthday to all of you and anyone else out there who shares this birthday with this glorious, glorious, glorious September 28th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up, turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out. Rock on into the dance. Rock on into the dance. Sing it. Do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, if you remember, don't be afraid to start all over. Don't be afraid. Don't let your confidence wane. Don't let other people make you feel. Don't make yourself feel like the end is near or doom is imminent for you. It's not like that. There are great things that can come out of the new. New you, new start, new opportunities, new chances. Take advantage of those things. Before you got good or comfortable with anything, it was brand new to you. And guess what? You got through it. It wasn't your last chance. last chance, last dance for love is our last dance, romance tonight. I need you by me, beside me, to guide me, to hold me. Cause when I'm bad, I'm so, so bad. So let's dance. Let's dance. Shout out. Rest in peace to the queen of disco, Donna Summer. Her sister used to come on the show all the time. We was on Facebook. Yeah, man. She's a cat. And her last name wasn't Summer. All right, y'all. We out of here. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I'll see y'all tomorrow at same damn time. And you know how we going to do. Everything is going to be all right. We do it right. And it's the game tight. And I'm glad you came through. And I'm glad I had a chance to talk to all of you. And I feel good about the future and the past. And everybody's going to be all right. We get it. And everything is going to be okay. We do this shit like every day. Daily go-get-em-ism way. All right, so Blog Talk, we're going to get you on up out of here, baby. We're going to holla back at you. We're going to holla back at you. We holla back at you.